The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports as usual. He is John Senecal. I am Brian Shackman. And we are talking about some things related to the upcoming season because pitchers and catchers are here. Full squads are on their way. And you were actually going through the schedule, John, and notice something. If Yankees and Red Sox is what your focus is, you're going to have to sit tight for a while.
Sit tight for a long time. Like 2 months,
that's
long
so weird.
Time.
So they don't play
each other to the first weekend in June. They don't play each other till.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. Like, because you think about it, they're still going to play each other 19 times, right? But not until June.
You know,
and
what
I'll talk a little bit more about how they match up the rest of the season.
Wait, so I wonder if they, I don't know if they would have done this, but maybe they thought because of COVID, if they scheduled the games later in the summer, they'd get more people in the stands.
Gee, I wonder. I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
You think so?
Considering the fact that they play Tampa 13 times before they play.
Is that true?
Yeah, and I'm guessing they're probably all at Tampa, too. I didn't dig that deep in the Tampa schedule. But, yeah, they do play Tampa 13 times before they play the Red Sox.
Well, that makes total sense to me then, because once you get to June, they like in May, you may only have, I don't know, 6,000 to 10,000 in the stands, but by June maybe it's half capacity.
But the other weird thing is so they only play twice in August. They play each other twice in August.
So it's like all July.
They play each other 8 times coming out of the All-Star break, back to back, and the Yankees play like a 2-game set in between. So I don't know who the Boston plays. The Yankees
play
the
Phillies.
So before
New York and then 4 in Boston with something else in between.
Yep, right out of the break, and then they play a little bit in September, but the Yankees finish against Tampa at the end of the season.
Now, we'll talk later in the show about the Vegas line on the over-under for wins, which is one of my favorite things to do. But say, for instance, you know, the Red Sox buck trend and have a decent season. Say, for instance, they're 1-2 in the division. Imagine 8 out of 10 games against each other. That could swing the whole season.
Yeah, especially, well, think about it, especially coming out of the All-Star break, too, with the trading deadline coming up.
Right.
That is going to be right at the smack of the trading deadline. So it's going to be interesting. And you know they plan that.
They had to. I mean, now that I make, did you know before I brought it up, because we didn't really talk about this too much before the show, did you think the same thing?
No,
about the fans?
I didn't. I was so interested with the fact that they don't play until then, and I wanted to see how much that, like, you know, because everyone had said Tampa's the new Boston Yankees Red Sox in the East, right? So I immediately went to Tampa. But then, like, as soon as you started to say it, I was like, oh my God, that makes sense.
Yeah, because if you're in Tampa, those games don't draw a squad, so it doesn't matter about COVID. Although,
and 10 games in Baltimore, too.
Right.
And or possibly 9 games in Buffalo.
That's right. Well, Florida, they don't have too many rules anyway. So that makes something to keep an eye on. Also, by the way, I don't know if people got to see the news. You must know by now, folks, that Johnny Damon was arrested for DUI, among other charges, peacefully resisting arrest. And I don't
know. How do you peacefully resist arrest?
I'm not going. You got to go. No, I'm not going.
Okay.
You got to go. No, I'm not going. I don't know. I mean, I've never resisted arrest or been put in handcuffs, so I can't really speak to it from experience.
It sounded like he had quite a bit to drink.
So I heard that he blew 0.20. Now, in most states, 0.08 is the level of inebriation to be arrested for a DUI. So he was more than double. And you said you heard 0.3?
Yeah, somewhere I read 0.3. But I mean, isn't that like close to being dead or something like that?
Well, I don't know if it's that bad, but the bottom line is that he
shouldn't be driving.
He was hammered.
He was in rough shape, and I think his wife was in rough shape too.
Oh, they were
they were together, and she got arrested too for not assault, but like minor assault or something.
Peacefully
Unpeacefully resisting arrest,
I guess.
But
here's the thing that I'll never understand. I mean, I guess, you know, adults think they can handle it or this and that. But if you, I mean, Johnny Damon probably made close to, I don't know, $75 million in his career. I don't even know what the number is. But even if he lived a pretty wild life, he's probably got $20 million in the bank.
They said he made like $110 million in just baseball contract alone.
Okay, so unless he's an idiot, he's got a lot of money.
Oh, he's got a lot of money. And he was on, he's marketing himself. He was on some show, like some boat yachting show or something like that.
I mean, and I know when COVID Uber's bad, but like you could literally, if you had that much money, you could hire a driver.
I wonder what kind of car he was driving, because that plays a lot into it, because you got to show off the ride.
Yeah, I don't think it was a Corolla.
But it makes sense, though. Like, all these things happen at spring training time. Because the buddies are in town.
Right.
You know, you're going out. You're having
just
a good time. Tony La Russa's falling asleep at a traffic light.
Right. Trying to relive the glory days. But I just never understand why rich athletes can't just get a ride.
How about anybody? It comes down to just bad decisions with alcohol. That's all it is.
He's Johnny Damon, so he'll probably...
He's Captain Caveman. He'll get off.
He's not like he's going to run for office or anything. Not like a criminal record would hurt him. But that's dangerous to other people. That's what bugs me.
It's dangerous to other people, and it's relevant to our show because it's Yankees Red Sox.
Yep. You know, it's funny. I still love Damon, and I wish he had never left. And it's not that where he went after. It's that if he had just stayed in Boston... He was a folk hero already, and then he could have been like a Michael Ruzzioni type or a Larry Bird type.
Would he have been a dying folk hero, though?
I don't know. I think that if he had stayed in Boston or at least not gone to places that we didn't want to cheer for, I think he would have had this legendary. He still has a legendary status, but it's been tarnished a little bit because of where he went after. And I just think that he would have never paid for a meal the rest of his life.
No.
That's how big a deal he was.
I mean, he was definitely a bigger hotshot in Boston.
Oh yeah, he was cooked.
He was solid for the Yankees, but I mean, really, 2009 World Series is where he paid his dividends, stealing the base and popping up and running. And
right, but the truth is that Johnny Damon was a bit of a slap hitter with no arm, who was just a great locker room guy who could get some gutsy hits in the right time. I mean, when you look at his, I mean, he was one of the gutsiest players I ever saw. I remember, didn't he start in KC? Before he even went to Oakland. Right.
Yep.
So I remember watching him at Fenway Park when he was with KC, and he would have gone through the wall to make a play.
You're right. Right place, right time, always. Like, he always seems like he made the good catch in center field.
Yep.
He got the timely slap hit or the timely home run. Especially when he got the Yankee Stadium.
But he had a terrible swing, and he couldn't throw. I mean, it's just crazy that he had such a career, but he was such a gamer. And I think Boston got, the best of him, and I think after that he was kind of done. Although 09, as you said, he did some good things, but
he's got some other things to worry about now.
But you talk about hurting other people, and we don't get into politics or social elements here, but you know, just in reading some of the comments about Domingo Germán coming back, and you know, the projection for the Yankees is them to win the AL East.
He could be in the rotation.
Do you think this is going to hurt the team?
I'll answer it this way. If he's pitching good in spring training, It's not going to hurt the team. Okay, so unless he does something stupid again, because he had that cryptic message about how it's everything is over, and then he deleted it and said, I'm ready, or something like that. So who knows what's going on in his head? But going by what we know, what we've read, I would say that a lot of people forgive and forget a lot faster. I'm not talking about Zach Britton. I'm talking about in general with the Yankees. If he's performing well in spring training and he looks like he's, you know, everyone gets second chances. That's what they've been saying.
So he got, just for people who don't know the story, he got suspended for how many games?
60 games.
Because why?
63 games of last season, domestic violence.
Right.
So he's eligible to come back after 3 games, I believe, this season. So and basically, so he can make his first start.
Zach Britton, also, you know, obviously a pitcher, his comment was basically, you can't choose your teammates, which is basically saying, you know, I don't want him here, but I have no choice.
And I'm sure the majority of people think that way.
But baseball is, you know, it's the type of thing where I've always said about baseball, you can be the most selfish person in baseball and be a great teammate. Because say, for instance, you're like Wade Boggs and all you care about is hits. If you get hits, you help the team.
Right. If you're not a distraction.
Right.
And you're doing your job. You know, I love that. I love the saying, the way he goes about his business. I've always loved that. Like, what does that even mean? You know, I just love the way he goes about his business.
I think it's how he practices and trains or prepares.
But you notice that, like, no matter what, anytime someone gets interviewed and they're interviewing some, like, famous athlete, like just recently, Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl, right? Yeah. And they ask somebody, and they're like, you know, it's just the way he goes about his business.
Right. it's a cliche, but you know what he means, but you can't necessarily totally articulate what it means.
Right.
But basically, like, he's a pro. He handles things like a pro, and he's ready, and no matter what else is going on, the baseball
side,
the football
side
is taken care of.
If he does that,
then it'll be fine.
It will be taken care of. But, you know, the Yankees' rotation is a big question mark. So they need him to do good.
But here's the thing, John. And you're listening to John Senecal and Brian Chackman and Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, is that I do think baseball is one of those games that can overcome, you know, some bad eggs as long as they do their jobs or whatever cliche you want to throw out there. But, you know, you have Herman, you have Chapman, who's got some issues. I don't know. Like, I feel like karma. I'm a karma guy, and it's not because I'm anti-Yankees, because I am, but, like, that's a lot of karma that's not great in one locker room.
No, it's not, and I agree with Chapman, too. I mean, I'm not a big fan of him. I have no problem seeing him go.
Just get rid of them both.
But, again, that's just, like, you go back. Like, who's going to take him? Who are you going to get to take him? You got to eat contracts.
Sure.
But Herman, I mean, if he performs, if he stays clear, stays clean, hopefully he won't be a distraction. But who knows? I mean, maybe Zach Britton and some other players carry a lot more weight and he disappears tomorrow in a black car.
Or maybe just they own the locker room and they just make sure he knows the rules. And if he screws up once, it's a problem. Like, I think a good locker room leader...
You think he's going to pull a Robbie, you know?
I don't know. I mean,
he'd be an idiot.
I don't know. You know, it's funny you talk about locker room presence and whatever. I mean, I assume that I don't know much about Brett Gardner because I just don't like him. But I assume he's a real good locker room presence, right? He's a leader, lead by example.
He's been in New York for what, 13 seasons, something like that, 14 seasons?
So why don't they just keep him?
I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with his age, obviously.
Because they don't want to give up a 40-man roster spot?
And they want to let the Red Devil play, I guess. But what happens when Judge gets hurt and Chicks gets hurt?
Right. Because somebody's going to get hurt.
They always do. I mean, if you go by history, that someone will get hurt.
And I don't think you can sign him late because I think everybody knows, especially at his age, he needs training camp. You need reps to be ready.
Well, I was watching Boone's first press conference live online the other day, and all people were saying in the comments were, you know, bring Gardner back, some hashtag, you know, bring Gardy back or something like that. Right. So obviously he's a fan favorite, but you know what it comes down to? It comes down to economics and it comes down to...
But how expensive would he be?
Well, they're saying the $3 million is what I've read, is what they have for him. But I mean, does he really want to go anywhere else? He obviously wants to play. He loves the game. He's talented enough to play based on his stats.
So you think he probably could have had a job already? He's just waiting on the Yankees to make the final
call? I don't
know
if he could have a job right now. I mean, there's a lot of these fringe players that are just kind of
disappearing. Well, what you learn is, I was just hearing the other day how Rick Porcello's still out there.
Yep.
And I was like, why wouldn't the Red Sox just bring him back?
Yep.
But you realize when you start to follow the game really closely is that when you want to bring on somebody, that means you're taking away an opportunity for somebody else to play. And if you had a 23-year-old...
That is also much cheaper at the time.
And who might have bigger upside. So,
and less injury... history.
You think there's no risk, but you could be, you know, slowing the progress of a real potential contributor who is, you know, arbitration eligible.
It's a dice roll. It's a huge dice roll.
And then in the Red Sox, it's the same story with Jackie Bradley Jr., right? Because he's worth more to the Red Sox than he is to other teams. All the other teams that, you know, we thought were good fits for him have filled their outfield basically, unless they want to platoon him. So now he has very few choices. And the Red Sox, they could go on without him, but I feel like the fan part of me is like, just like the Brett Gardner fans in the comment section, I was like, just bring him back. But, you know, now it's, I don't know, what is it, 3 years and $40 million? Like, what's it gonna take? And I don't think there's...
Well, at this point, I'm guessing he'll take anything at this point.
I think he's got no leverage right now, none, right? He's done.
I don't think any of these guys really do. I mean, if they want to play baseball, I mean, what is your options at this point?
You think there's another collusionary type thing going on?
I mean, there's guys out there, but there's not... There's not a lot of guys that are like the named players. A lot of guys
wouldn't give Rick Porcello a contract to bring to camp. I mean, come on. I know he won't take a minor league deal, but I mean, there's 20 teams that would want him to come back. I mean, what is he going to cost?
He's obviously probably asking way too much money, right. Or maybe he's hurt and you don't know it.
Right. So you think
I agree with you. There's no reason he should not have somebody sniffing in his
jock. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So predictions on Gardner and Bradley. Where are they going to be and when?
I mean, I just think the Yankees outfield right now is too crowded on paper. I mean, obviously, I don't think like Jay Bruce isn't going to be an outfielder for the Yankees, but you got Talkman, you got the Devil, you got a bunch of these guys that are going to
see. They don't need another veteran,
right?
They don't.
They just don't.
They don't. Wow, I think Jackie Bradley will sign with the Red Sox, and the problem's going to be is that he's going to be pissed. He's going to be mad because he didn't get a bigger contract, and I think he wouldn't be a problem in the locker room. I think he's too good a guy, but I think it's kind of stinks for him because I think he will be a little bit edgy and grumpy.
But the problem with him is he's just not – he doesn't have the numbers over his
career.
He's
not a consistent enough hitter.
He just doesn't have the numbers over his career. And when you moneyball him out and you like mediocre moneyball him out, he's still a loser.
Right. The thing is, he's worth more to the Red Sox than he is to any other team. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to do this stuff because I love this time of year. I remember when I listened to more sports radio and Chris Mad Dog Russo used to always do this, right? They do the over under and then choose, you know, what they think is going to happen. So I thought we would do the Dodgers and the Mets and then do the whole AL East, including obviously the Red Sox and Yankees, right? So I saw one number for the Dodgers that was 104.5. But then most of the stuff I saw in doing further research was 101.5. And I think the last two highest winning teams in the last 25 years was Seattle and the Yankees?
The Astros, well, the last two highest winning teams was Seattle and the Yankees.
What
and
was
the,
that number in
116 and 114. And Astros and Red Sox, 107, 108.
Right, so the Seattle 116 was what year?
2001.
And they lost the Yankees in the ALCS?
Yes.
And then the 98 Yankees?
114.
And they won the World Series?
Yeah, they swept.
Okay, so 101.5 for the Dodgers. What are you taking? And this is keeping in mind that the Padres are loaded and they have to play them 19 times.
I think it's going to be a wake-up call. I don't think they're going to crack 100. I think they get 98.
Wow. I'm going to take the over just because Mookie Betts, and I just want to take the opposite of you because to have a little tension. But I think that 101.5 is a pretty steep mountain to climb. And then you have the Mets, which I think it's funny because maybe the ownership change and this just – I'm paying attention to them. You know, I know we're in the tri-state area, 90.5. I saw 89, so somewhere between 89 and 91. But we'll say 90.5. I'm going to take the under. I think they're going to be above 500, but I think it's more like 85 to 90. Like, I don't think they're going to get past 90.
I was going to say 87.
But that division sucks, right? It's not a very – oh, Atlanta. But, I mean, after that –
The Mets have good pitching, man. I'm still a little skeptic about their hitting.
So you're taking the under on the Mets?
Yeah.
And you're taking the under on the Dodgers?
Yep.
And then let's go in the AL. I mean, we don't have to pay – AL East, we don't have to pay too much attention to Baltimore at 64.5. I'm going to take the over just because I feel bad. You know what I mean? That's so crappy.
They could be one of those teams. I mean, their pitching is awful, but their hitting is hungry. They're young. They could be one of those. And it's Chris Davis's last year. It's Chris Davis's contract year, ladies and gentlemen.
I feel bad.
He's going to hit 55 home runs this year.
I follow him just because.
He's a good guy.
Though you don't know, he had this multi-year guaranteed contract for a lot of money. And for the last three seasons, they've kept him on the 40-man just because they're paying him all this money. And,
he's batting, fans still like him.
He's batting like 130. I mean, it's sad.
It's bad. He statistically is like the worst player in baseball, hitting-wise, for the last like three seasons.
But they kept trotting him out there for a long time.
Well, I mean, a story about Chris Davis. So Bobby Dickerson used to be the third base coach for the Orioles. Right. So we had been down there a few times, and I took the boys down there. I think it was Manny's rookie year, 2013.
Manny Machado.
Yeah. So Bobby brought Manny out to meet the boys and stuff, and Matt Wieters was there. And then Chris Davis comes over, and Chris Davis was just super nice guy. And that was the season he was just hitting nukes everywhere, hitting bombs. I think he had like 50 home runs or 51, something like that. But he was just a great guy. He was just a really nice guy, nice to Jackson, took a picture with me, you know, talked to us. So you know, it's like one of those things, like, you know, I'm sure he was like that to a lot of people.
Right.
So he has a lot of fans in Baltimore. You know that by the way they receive him there. You can still tell that by the way they receive him when he plays against the Yankees on television. So, you know, there's a reason why he is there. And at the same time, you know, like, there is kind of a pride thing on both ends of that. The owners are kind of like, you have to live up to your contract. We're paying you. And he has to kind of be like, you know what?
But I don't think
I'm going to suck it up, and I have to kind of try to do it.
But I don't know. I mean, I hope he does well, but I don't foresee him making some magic comeback get another job next year. Okay, so if the Baltimore won 65 games, they'd be 65-97. You're taking the over or the under on Baltimore?
I think they'll lose 100 games.
Okay, so you're taking the unders. So you're three unders. And then we go to Tampa, Toronto, or like neck and neck. They have Toronto at 86.5 and Tampa at 85.5.
I'll take Toronto on the over, just because I feel like Toronto's going to go crazy, and they'll do something crazy and figure out a way to get better pitching.
And then Tampa? I mean, they're always going to be tough because they just have a deep roster.
I'll go under, just because I feel like, you know, losing Snell, as much as he might have been some sort of goofiness between him and the manager, and he's so talented. Yeah, I don't know if he's completely all there. But
Snell.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think he is either.
But he is super talented, and you know, you don't just get rid of good players. Right. There's always a reason behind it. So, but do they get better as a result of that? Anchored around glass now? I don't know. Yeah. They do have the biggest depth in minor league system, and they got Wander Franco, who everyone's been talking about forever, and I don't know if he'll ever come up and play, but he's still young.
So the only over you have is Toronto. You're taking the under on Tampa, the under on Baltimore, the under on Dodgers. Then we go to Red Sox, Yankees. Which one do you take first? Which one do you want?
What was it?
I'll give you the number. You know, with the Yankees, 95.5. I saw as high as 97, but for this, we'll do 95.5.
All right. I was thinking 96, 97, so I'll take the over.
Okay. It'll be close. The under. There's no way they're winning 95 games.
Eh, whatever.
As bad
we'll
as
figure
that division is, the only thing it's a saving grace is,
the Red Sox could have 23, they could have 32 wins before they play Boston.
But if Tampa and Toronto are projected to be over 500, that means they're not tomato cans, which means that they'll be tough out. So the division isn't quite as weak as maybe I had thought. And so I don't know. I think you have to have a couple of cream puffs beyond just Baltimore to get to 96.
Six against Detroit, seven against Cleveland, six against Houston, three against Washington. Seven against Minnesota, six against White Sox, seven against Texas, six KC, seven LA.
I think it's tough. When the Red Sox, so I'm taking the under, you're taking the over, and we're going to obviously revisit this. The Red Sox are 80.5, which is interesting because in one Vegas line I saw 77, and I was like emphatically taking the over because I'm like, they're not that bad.
Yeah.
And the thing that Chaim Bloom has done is that everyone's telling me that the 40-man is as deep as they've had in a long time. It's just their top 10 aren't that great, right? So over 162, maybe they're okay. 80.5 to me is a perfect Vegas line because it's hard. I'm not sure they're a 500 team, but they could be. And that little swing in there. So I'm going to take the over because I'm optimistic, but it's going to be close. It's going to be like they're going to barely get to 500.
Yeah, I'll go with the over for that too. Just because.
Really?
You know why? Just because I feel like they got pride and they'll figure it out. If Sale comes back, Sale's going to come back hopefully at some point. I would say.
Yeah, he's good for 12. I'd say the over under for me on him would be 12 wins.
Yeah, so maybe he gets 15 starts, 18 starts, 20 starts at the most. Yeah. Nah.
If he could get.
I don't think he'll come back until late June.
If he gets 20 starts, I would be thrilled.
Yeah, 15.
But he could still win 10 to 12 games.
He's going
to
win 12 games with 15 starts?
I love it.
Then they're definitely going to win.
Well, if it's only 15 starts, maybe he'll get 10 wins. I don't know.
So we're going to pin our – I will pin your season on the elbow of Chris Sale. Yeah,
that's not much to go on, frankly. All right, John, any final words here as we head into the full blast of spring training?
I'm excited for getting everyone there, you know, as they all get there and get going. And I'm kind of upset that the YES Network is only on one option other than Comcast. I got to get that stupid AT&T thing, and it just sucks.
You got to figure that out.
I got to figure it out, and it's not going to be good. But you know what? I'll figure out a way. If I have to take back cans to pay for
you're
it.
You're going
to
do it. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. We always appreciate you here listening and watching on YouTube. Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Wherever you're enjoying this podcast right now, keep doing it. You can also catch us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever there is a podcast. We'll see you next time.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.